Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted in with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that even though you are so big, you're beyond our wildest dreams, you hold us in your hands, you love us, and you guide us. And we pray that we would hear you speaking to us now as we read your word. Please would you shine light on our paths so that we might stand for you in a week ahead. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'd like to start with a question for you. Check you're all awake this afternoon. Can you put your hand up here if between getting up this morning and coming out here this afternoon, you got dressed? Anyone here? Anyone here get dressed? Most people. A few people, not too sure. Most people. That's good. Well, that's a good start because the passage we're going to look at together this afternoon is all about getting dressed right for the Christian life, for following Jesus. Okay, and Paul, who wrote that bit of the Bible that we read together just now, he says it's really important that if you and I are going to follow Jesus, that we're wearing the right stuff. Okay, and we've been reading through together this letter to the Ephesians over the past few months. And I think as we've worked through, Paul's given us some really good clues about what the right kind of thing to be wearing to follow Jesus might be. And I'd love a bit of help just now to kind of try out some possibilities. I could really do with four volunteers. I wonder if I could have four volunteers of any kind of, don't have to be younger. Maybe I could have a couple of younger and a couple of not so young. Anyone want to, I can't quite see who's got their hands up. So if you want to volunteer, come and run towards me now and then I'll see you. That'd be brilliant. Yeah, Matthew, yeah, come on. Anyone else? Yeah, go on in, Ollie. And who else? Ammo, yeah, come on, help me out. And one more, I need one more volunteer. And let's do something very fun. Could you guys go up on the stage? That'd be brilliant. We'll need to go on the stage. If you go up on the stage, that'd be great. And have I got one more? Barney, brilliant. Thanks very much. And if you could just kind of line up there on the stage, and I might have to come up there as well with you. Let's see how I'm going to do this. See if I can do this without falling over. Okay, so do you remember right at the start of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he said, hasn't he, that Christians, we're people who have been made rich. We've been in Christ. We've been given every spiritual blessing. And Paul said as well that we've been raised up and seated with Jesus, the King of the universe, in the throne room of heaven. And so maybe, I guess, you could say, well, we should dress like kings and queens. We should dress like royalty. Here, Barney. You can model that particular look for us. So maybe we should dress like royalty, as Bonnie's so wonderfully modelling there. But then later on in the letter, Paul says, "You know, the church, all of us, we're a bit like a building." That's in progress, being built. And we're all a bit like the builders, and we've all got kind of our job to do. Our job is to kind of build our bit of the building. So maybe you could say, Matthew, you can model this particular look. Maybe, there you go, do you want to hold on to that? Maybe actually we should dress like builders. But then a little bit later on in the letter, again, Paul says, you know, Christians are like lights. And God wants us to shine out brightly into a dark world. So maybe we should be wearing stuff a little bit like this. I wonder if you can try and stretch that on over your hoodie. That'd be great. So God wants us to shine brightly like lights out into a dark world. So maybe we should be wearing kind of the high-vis gear to help us shine. And here you go, just in case we... there you go. And just in case we can't see enough, you stick those on your head as well. That'd be brilliant if they fit on there. Maybe we should be wearing the high-vis gear. But you know, actually, did you notice in that passage that we just read together, actually, we don't need to guess, do we, what we should be wearing for the Christian life, because Paul tells us exactly, and it's quite surprising. Did you notice? It's not crowns, and it's not builder's gear, and it's not high-vis gear. Actually, it's something quite surprising. Do you see what it is? It's armor. Paul says armor is what we should be wearing, ammo. I don't know if you could... Here we go, let's try and do this. Pop that on your head. Did you see that in verse 10, the passage we read together? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God. And Paul doesn't just say, oh, you make sure you've got your helmet on. No, he says, put on the full armor. We need to be completely covered. Okay, so we need to make sure ammo's got the whole thing on. I wonder if you just look down in your Bible there, if you're near one, have a look between kind of verse 13 and 17, and who can shout out for me the different bits of armor that Paul says we need to be wearing to be ready for the Christian life? Anyone shout out a bit of the suit of armor? Verse 13 to 17. Belt, yes, we need a belt. And what's the one that comes just after that? Oh, yeah, we get to the breastplate. Yeah, now I've got those two joined together, so I need to do those together. You get ammo, stick this on. So there you go. Brilliant, there we go. You've got your breastplate on there and you've got a belt on here. Let me help you with that because it's quite hard to get to. And we'll buckle your belt on tight. Brilliant. Anyone see another one?
Shield on me.
Shield, yes, well done, Ellie. We need a shield. Ammo needs a shield. Okay, right, say that. Anyone see another one? Someone say sword? Yeah, it needs a sword, doesn't he? Okay, right, so you might need to put those down in a minute. We've got one more to go. What's the last one? Anyone see it? Yes, shoes. You need something on his feet or boots. Here we go. Pop those on there. Let's sort your head out a bit there, Amy. There we go. There we go. How are you feeling, Amy? You feeling secure? You feeling safe? Brilliant. So Amy's got the full armor on there that Paul talks about. And I don't know about you, at this point, maybe we're looking at ammo and thinking, whoa, 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 no one said anything about armor. I mean, when I signed up to be a Christian, no one said anything about doing anything dangerous. I mean, I don't mind dressing like a king or a queen, maybe, and maybe a builder would be all right, and I guess maybe I could even wear the high-vis gear, but I don't want to do anything dangerous. Why is Paul saying we need to have this full suit of armor on? I'm not up for doing anything dangerous. But here's the thing. No matter who you are, if you're a Christian here today, if you're a follower of Jesus, Paul says you need to have this full armor on. Because lining up with Jesus, well, it means lining up, putting yourself in the firing line of Jesus' powerful and deadly enemy, the devil. Do you see that in verse 11? Have a look back at verse 11. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Paul's saying the normal Christian life, ordinary, everyday, day-to-day Christian living is a daily battle to stand against the devil's schemes, against his tricks and lies and attacks. That's ordinary Christian living. Thanks very much, helpers, for helping me. I think now's probably a great time to take your gear off and take a seat. Should we give our helpers a round of applause for being so helpful? Thanks, Matthew. Brilliant, thanks. Thanks very much. Thank you, brilliant. I'll come back down here. We'll give Ammo a minute. Now, I don't know about you, maybe you're thinking, come on, the devil? That's all a bit Harry Potter, isn't it? But remember, all through this letter that we've been reading, the letter to the Ephesians, Paul's been telling us about unseen, invisible realities. So do you remember back in chapter 1, he prayed, didn't he, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened so that we'd see who we really are in Jesus and what God's amazing, awesome power is that's working towards us, helping us right now. It's stuff that's real. It's real and it's really there. We just can't see it. And this letter, it's like God's way of pulling back the curtain of heaven and showing us stuff that is real, but left to ourselves, we'd never figure it out on our own. And now Paul says, look, you need to know, as well as all these wonderful things that are there in the heavenly realms, unseen realities, as well as all the wonderful things, there are some really, really nasty things as well. And you need to know about them, because if you don't, there's a good chance that they might wreck your Christian life and stop you following Jesus. Have a look at verse 12 that we read together just now. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The devil is real, Paul says, and he's backed up by this huge army of spiritual rulers and powers and authorities. And the devil is really busy. He's really busy every day and today. And what he's busy doing is trying to make it really difficult for you and for me to follow Jesus. Let's find my slide clicker. Here's a picture of someone trying to walk along the beach last week. And what do you think is it that's making it difficult for them to walk along the beach? Armor. Is it armor? Well, I don't think it's armor, actually. They might have some armor. What are they walking into, do you think? Wind. Yeah, it's the wind. You can't see the wind in that picture, can you? But you can see what it's doing. And that guy can certainly feel what it's doing. And it's a bit like that with the devil. We can't see him, but we can see and feel what he does. And what he does is makes it really difficult for us to get where we're going, to go Jesus's way, to follow Jesus. So for example, Jesus says to us, now I want you to obey and honor your parents. And we say, okay, I'll do it. You're my king. I'll do whatever you say. But when we get home and our parents ask us to do something that we don't want to do, it is so hard, isn't it, to actually do what we've said we'll do? Why is it so hard? It's not complicated. Well, it's not just because your parents are kind of particularly annoying and difficult to obey and honor. It's because the devil is personally at work opposing you, trying to make it difficult for you to go Jesus's way. Or Jesus says, don't be unkind in the way that you talk to or about others. Only say what's helpful for building others up. And we say, okay, Jesus, I'll do it. You're my king. I'll do whatever you say. But then when we get to work or to school and we get in that conversation where everyone's laughing about that person that's not there and making fun of them, we find it so difficult, don't we, not to join in? Why is it so difficult? Well, it's not just because everyone that God has put in your life is particularly annoying and hard to get along with, but because the devil is personally opposing you, trying to make it difficult for you to go Jesus's way. And I guess our danger at this point is we say, well, what can you do? You can't expect me to beat the devil and his vast army. I mean, they're much too powerful for me. And the great news is, you don't have to, because Jesus has already defeated them completely on the cross. And so all we need to do is stand firm in his victory. Do you see, that's what Paul says again and again in this passage. Have a look at verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then. Stand, stand, stand. Paul says it again and again. But how can we ever stand firm against a powerful enemy like the devil and his vast army? And the answer I think Paul gives us in this passage is by making use of three powerful tools that God has given us to enable us to stand. Three powerful tools. And I want to just think briefly about each one now. And the first one, we've already seen a little bit of just now, is his armor. His armor. So have a look with me at verse 14. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit, sorry, which is the word of God. All these bits of armor that Paul's talking about, they're bits of the gospel, the good news about Jesus, that he is God's king and that God has sent him on a rescue mission for us. Did you see that? So the belt is a belt of truth. The gospel is the truth. And the breastplate is a breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is all about being made right with God. And that's what Jesus has done for everyone who trusts in him. So putting on this armor, it means wrapping ourselves in the protection of the gospel, filling our minds with everything that God has done for us in Jesus. It means we're going to be people who eat, breathe, and sleep the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Well, what does that look like in practice? Well, I think maybe it might look something like this. So I wake up in the morning, and I think to myself, I need to get this belt of truth buckled on before I do anything else. So I say to myself, what is true today? And I say, well, Jesus loves me. He came and he died for me. And one day soon, he's coming back. Maybe today, he's coming back and going to take me to live with God forever. That is true. I get that belt of truth buckled on tight early. And as I'm eating my breakfast, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm reminded, you know, I am completely accepted by God today. Not because of anything I've done, but only because of what Jesus has done. I get that breastplate of righteousness on early, so that later in the day when I've sinned in some way and the devil whispers in my ear, you're a rubbish Christian, God is never going to let you into heaven, I'm able to quickly say, yeah, I am a rubbish Christian, but I'm accepted by God, not because of anything I've done, not because of my performance, but only because of what Jesus has done. And so I'm protected from the devil's lies by this breastplate of righteousness. And it will mean, I think, that I regularly stop in the course of the day to remember, you know, I used to be an enemy of God. I used to hate him, be completely opposed to him. And even so, Jesus came and made peace between me and God. That's amazing. And if that thought is never far from my mind, I'll always have the boots of readiness that come from that gospel of peace, buckled on tight, ready to go to anyone I meet with that amazing news. And I'll be ready to go to a brother or sister when the devil gets in and manages to make us fall out about something and make peace, if that is never far from my mind. And it means I'll be finding ways throughout the course of the day to fill my mind with and meditate on all the things that remind me why Jesus is the only trustworthy one. So sitting on the train or driving in my car, I'll be turning over in my mind all the reasons why Jesus is the only one who I can trust my life to, whose hands I can completely put my life in, why he's the only one I can really listen to about everything. So that when the devil's flaming arrows of doubt and uncertainty come in, I'll be safe behind that shield of faith. It will mean that when I feel scared and worried about anything, that I stop and remind myself that no matter what happens, nothing can cut me off from God, not even death itself. No matter what illness or suffering or disease or other tragedies the devil can throw at me, in Christ I am completely safe and God will bring me safely home. That helmet of salvation is that rock-solid confidence that I'm safe in God no matter what. And lastly, I think it means that above all, I'll be a Bible person with God's word constantly in my pocket or on my phone or on my tablet or best of all, in my mind, in my memory. I'll always be ready not just to take the devil's blows but to fight back. The Bible is God's razor-sharp sword that he gives us to use to help us stand against the devil. I think basically putting on this armor is basically going to involve us reading our Bibles prayerfully, carefully, and often. That's far and away going to be the best way that any of us can do any of those things that I've just described. It might mean for you listening to Christian music or reading Christian books, not necessarily because you're particularly into those things. You may not really love them naturally, but this isn't about what we like, is it? This is about surviving in the daily battle that all of us are in to stand against the devil. If you were a soldier, think about how you would put your armor on before going into battle. You'd put it on really, really carefully, wouldn't you? So you wouldn't just kind of chuck it on any old how and go, it doesn't really matter, just bung it on. No, you'd make sure every piece was in place just right. You'd double check, triple check, everything was done up tight because your life might depend on it. Same with this armor. And you'd make sure, wouldn't you, that you had it on well, carefully, before the battle started. It'd be no good kind of seeing the arrows coming, winging in straight towards you and thinking, now, where did I put that armor? I'm sure I left it around here somewhere. Now, the time to get it on is before the battle starts. Same with this armor. The time to get it on is now. So that's the first tool that God has given us to help us stand against the devil's schemes, his armor. And much more briefly, just want to think about these other two. And the second is this, prayer. Prayer. So have a look at verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I think a lot of us tend to think that prayer is a little bit like the kind of phone a friend lifeline in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So do you know this game? You have to answer a series of questions which get kind of progressively harder. And if you hit a particularly tricky one that you get a bit stuck on, then you've got these lifelines. And one of the things you can do is phone a friend and say, oh, can you help me out with this one? And I think we tend to think that life is a bit like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You basically kind of get by on your own, but if you get a bit stuck, you hit something you can't quite solve on your own, then's the time you pray. You get on the line to God and say, can you help me out with this one? But you know, prayer isn't just for when we get a bit stuck, because we can't basically just get by in life on our own, because we've seen already, haven't we, that we're locked into a battle every day with a deadly enemy that we cannot defeat on our own. So I think prayer is much more like this. I think prayer is much more like a battlefield radio. Let's get my radio on. So if you're a soldier in battle, then one of the most important things that you can have is your radio. And it's super important that you can always talk to your commanding officer on your radio. Because your commanding officer is able to kind of see the whole bigger picture from further back, and he's able to kind of tell you what's going on elsewhere, and he can send extra resources your way, and he can come and get you if you're in real trouble. And so a good soldier is always on the radio to his commanding officer, letting him know what's happening, letting him know what he needs. And prayer is like the best battlefield radio that's ever been invented. It never breaks. You can take it anywhere with you, and you always get through to God. No matter what time, any time, day or night, 24/7, he will always hear you. And he always wants to hear from you about anything at all. Do you see that in verse 18? Pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Always keep on praying for all the saints, all. Before I did this job, I was in the Royal Marines for a few years, and as a troop commander, I had a Marine whose job it was to talk on the radio for me. He was he was my radio operator, and he had a phrase that he liked to use, usually when he was kind of fiddling around with the radio, and we were all saying, come on, get a move on. He'd say, no comms, no bombs. Okay? No comms, no bombs, by which I think he meant, look, I've got the most important job here. If you can't talk on the radio, you can't get the support that you need to win the battle. And I think we could do with our own catchphrase a little bit like that in the Christian life. Maybe something like, no prayer, beware. Because prayer isn't just for when we're a bit stuck. It's for every moment of the daily battle that we're all in. If we're going to stand against the devil's schemes, we're going to need to be people who pray like mad. So third and final tool that God has given us. I haven't got a prop for this one because I knew you'd all be here, so I'd like you all to do something for me. Can everyone just have a little look around them? Look around both sides, maybe behind you. Have a good look around. All around you, you've just seen what this one is, okay? It's each other. Have a look at verse 19. Start of verse 19, Paul says, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. You know, Paul was an amazing Christian man, but even he couldn't fight the daily battle to stand against the devil's attacks on his own. He needed his brothers and sisters, just like they needed him. I think a big problem for us is that we all like to watch films like these. Films where you get one kind of lone action hero who single-handedly kind of takes on and defeats entire armies. But you know, in the real world, I'm afraid it just doesn't work like that. The real world that you and I live in, the real world of the Bible, it's just not like that. You and I will not make it if we try and do the Christian life on our own, no matter how tough you are. There's only one man who defeated the devil single-handedly, and that is Jesus. And we'll only stand firm in him if we stick together with one another, encouraging each other, looking out for each other, keeping each other going. That's why it's great that you all came here this afternoon. It's not just a nice thing to come and gather like this and catch up with friends. It's vital if any of us are going to stand this week. I wonder how you could use the rest of our time together this afternoon to encourage a brother or sister to keep standing firm in Jesus in the week ahead. Well, it's not really rocket science, is it? Anything I've shared so far? Stand firm in Jesus against the devil by reading your Bible, praying, and getting stuck into church family life. But those are God's chosen means to keep you and me going to the end. They're exactly what Jesus did. That was the armor he himself wore, our warrior king, when he completely defeated the devil in his life, death, and resurrection. And now he gives us those same things to use too. These are God's chosen means for making us those who, do you see verse 24, right at the end of the passage you read? These are God's chosen means for making us those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we confess that we have been complacent. We have lived in the thick of the battle with a peacetime mentality. And we thank you for your word that opens our eyes to reality. We pray that you'd help us to keep alert and live as those who have had our eyes opened. And Lord, we ask that you give those of us who are weary in the battle strength to go on standing against the devil, knowing that your armor is solid and you will get us to the end. And we pray this for your glory. Amen.
First question, Sim, who was the American poser that the 2004...
I have no idea. well read, though. Yeah. I thought I blurred that enough that you couldn't read it.
Sim, can you share any practical tips for how to pray for all things in the business of in the busyness of life?
Yeah, So Paul says, pray on all occasions, all kinds of prayers and requests, keep on praying for all the saints. So he says, on all occasions, all kinds of prayers and requests. I think the picture there is pray like mad. There's nothing not to pray about. So I don't think you need feel a kind of guilt about, there's a couple of things that I haven't quite managed to pray about. I think the picture there is there anything not to pray about? No, pray about everything. So in terms of practical tips, I don't know. I think that just looks like cultivating an attitude that is kind of, I take everything to my Heavenly Father. He cares about it. He cares about me. There's nothing that I don't pray about to him and with my brothers and sisters.
And any tip about what it means when it says pray in the Spirit?
Yeah. I think at this point, Paul is wanting to kind of bring together everything he said so far in Ephesians. And it's in the letter to the Ephesians, and it's clear that the Spirit, God the Spirit, is living inside of us, and it's only in and through His dwelling in us, His living in us, that we're able to talk to God in the way that we are in prayer. So I think whenever you pray in the Spirit. I think that's the point.
Thanks. A couple more, and then we'll close. With 19 and 20 in mind, when we start thinking about others, does this mean all conversations should be Jesus-focused, and how does that sort of fit with more normal conversations? When he says, whenever I open my mouth.
I think Paul is wanting... Paul's supreme aim in life, the chief goal of his life, was to make the Lord Jesus known. That's evident from all his letters. That's the thing he cared about above everything. So I think, yeah, Paul would have said, yeah, whenever anything I say, I want that to be an opportunity to point to the Lord Jesus and who he is and what he's done. I don't think we need to make that into any kind of rule that you can never have a conversation that isn't directly kind of achieving that aim. I don't think the Bible is kind of unrealistic about the fact that sometimes you need to talk about washing your socks or something, you know. But you see Paul's attitude, I think this is more that in everything he wants to find and make opportunities to point to the Lord Jesus. I think you're allowed to have conversations which aren't explicitly mentioning the Lord Jesus. There's an attitude here that he's embodying. Does that make sense?
Yeah, great, thank you. And then in our battles with temptations from the devil, can we ever overcome them with the help of the Spirit in this life, or is that something we just have to wait for eternity?
Yeah, that's a great question, which I'd love to, if that's your question, I'd love to talk more to you about that afterwards, because there's a lot to say about that. But I think the short answer, kind of bullet point summary, is yes, we should expect there to be real progress in the Christian life, in this battle with the devil, what the Bible calls sanctification. But there will never be final and complete victory until that day when Jesus comes back and puts all his enemies completely under his feet. So we've seen all the way through Ephesians that we live kind of in the time in between these two ages. Jesus is on the throne of the universe. There's nothing outside of his total rule. But we do experience that the devil has power in this world, and we're called to live as children of the future that is so certain and guaranteed that we're called to live it out now. So we're called to live at be who you are, those who are called to be holy and blameless. But that will be an ongoing process until the day we die.
Thank you. And is there a question that we should be particularly looking at small groups to apply this?
Yeah, it is, but I can't quite remember what it is. No, we haven't got one there. I think it's something like, what will it take for you to go out into the week ahead? Okay. What do you need to do so that you go into this week fully protected against the devil's attacks?
Great. Thanks very much, Sim. Thanks.